Man, I hope everybody is doing well. Look around at each other. Give somebody a wave that says, hey, man, I'm glad to be on the top of the sod and taking nourishment, and I'm glad that you are as well. If you are monitoring as far as our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. And always know that if you're part of our online audience, you have a voice with Dr. Cazito. So if you have any questions or anything, you can be sure to send them to him. He will get you an answer. If he doesn't know it already off the top of his head, he will make sure to get you an answer. That's just the kind of guy he is. We love him, we appreciate him, and we're so glad that you're here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. I do want to remind folks, some of y'all have seen some of the baby bottles. This is one of the things that we do to help support the Crisis Pregnancy Center, it's actually called the Pregnancy Network now. This actually goes to help offset cost of ultrasounds for women that are considering abortion. And I've been saying this because I think it's a pretty fantastic statistic that 90%, it's in the 90 percentile of those ladies who have an ultrasound actually choose not to abort their children. So that's what these little baby bottles are for. It's a spare change campaign, as we call it. If you need one of them, there's some in our narthex under the table that's on your left as you go out. You can pick one of those up. We take these between Mother's Day and Father's Day, so we're about halfway through. If you have your bottle, you can go ahead and bring it back. You can set them on the table, as you see the two that are down here, and then we make sure we put them in a safe place until we have the opportunity to complete our campaign and then take the bottles over to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. So that's just one thing to remind you of as we begin today, and I'm sure that there will be some other things that we'll remind you of along the way as well. But let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you again, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and, Lord, the opportunity that we have just to gather together in your name as like-minded believers. Today, Father, I pray that we will be encouraged through your word. I pray that we will truly have the opportunity to celebrate you and, Lord, the opportunity to just worship you. Help us, Father, to have that tone set. We know that there are many things that are going on in our lives and folks are busy. But Lord, help us to be able to put those things aside for these few moments that we will gather together this morning, that we might truly hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. So, Father, we ask that you would bless our time together today, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good
morning. Please turn with me to number 52, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
choir, please turn to 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Today is a very special day, and as I thought about this opportunity to gather together, I also thought about those that we're going to recognize here in just a moment, which are our graduates. Man, I remember what that day was like, and I thought I could not wait to get to graduation. Yeah, how many of y'all remember your graduation day, man, when you graduated from high school? Yeah, that was the first big one. Some of you went on to accomplish even higher education, but man, there was always something about that graduation day from high school. And how many of y'all remember this? You thought that that was the pinnacle. Life was just going to get better from there, right? No struggles, no troubles whatsoever. We learned a lot of lessons, didn't we? But boy, I'll tell you one thing, it is great to have that opportunity. I can still remember our church recognizing the graduates, and that was a pretty big thing to me. They got so many things that they've got to do. I guarantee you guys have already walked in certain different things at school, and you know, awards assemblies, and you've donned that cap and gown several different times that will all culminate with the big graduation ceremony that's coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment, but I do want us to take these moments today during our service to recognize a couple of graduates that we have. And I'm just going to ask them to join me on the platform. The first is Kaylee McHouston. Kaylee, come on down. You're the first contestant on The Price is Right. A lot of you all know and have seen Kaylee, if you have ever looked at her smile, it will change your day. If you haven't looked at her smile, look at it right now, because I will promise you, she is a ray of sunshine in everybody's life as you have that opportunity to see Kaylee. Kaylee is the daughter of Joey and Jessica McHouston, and Kaylee is going to be graduating with her diploma from East Forsyth High School. Her graduation ceremony is set and scheduled for the 9th of this month. And as far as her continued plan, she plans to go to Forsyth Tech, and she's going to work on general study courses, which is actually a very smart thing to do at this particular point, particularly when you don't know exactly what you want to do, but yet you get all the math and the English and all that other stuff kind of out of the way, and then you can sit back and say, oh, Coach, you got two more years to decide, and then as you go forward. But today we want to make sure that we recognize Kaylee. We want to be sure to pray for her. We want to just look for great, great things out of her. Would you show your appreciation to Kaylee McHouston, graduate of graduating from East Forsyth. Stay right here. Don't leave. Our next graduate, Jacob Twitty. Stay here, Kaylee. Yeah, don't leave. Don't leave. Come on in over this way. So the camera, yeah, if they see me, you're prettier than I am. So, yeah. There you go. Thank you, brother. It's always good to have encouragement from the crowd. But a lot of you all know little Jacob Twitty, who's not so little anymore. But anyway, Jacob is the son of Tom and Erica Twitty, and he is going to be graduating from Northwest Guilford High School. Their graduation ceremony is this coming Friday, where Jacob will receive his diploma. And then his plans for the future is that he is planning to go to GTCC for 2 years, get those general study courses out of the way, and then transfer to a four-year university in hopes of becoming a future college basketball coach. That's what he's looking to do. And great aspirations on both halves. Would you please show your appreciation to Jacob Twitty? And as always, you know, we like to try to just show our appreciation as a church, to just give a little something to our graduates, to say that we recognize the hard work that you guys have done. You didn't get there overnight. It seemed like a lifetime. And there's been so many things that you guys have accomplished, and we also look forward to what you will accomplish. So on behalf of Central Baptist Church, Kaylee, this one's for you. And Jacob, this one is for you. One more time, will you show them how proud you are of them and show them your appreciation? Thanks, guys. We look forward to what's going to happen along the way in the future. That's one of the things we want to kind of discuss and talk about this morning. If you have your Bible, we're actually going to be looking at some passages that come out of Jeremiah chapter 29. They're not going to be unfamiliar passages at all. So go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 29. You see, folks, as we come together today, we recognize the fact that graduation is a milestone, but it's not the end. And it's not just simply a milestone. It's also a launching pad into God's purpose for the lives of these two graduates. It was the same way for you, the same way for myself. Oftentimes when we're those graduates, we get to the point where we think, I have arrived. I have made it. I have made it to the pinnacle, only to find out that that is not the case. Graduation is simply the closing of a chapter of your life. But when you close a chapter of your life, there is a new chapter that opens up. I can still remember how excited that I was for that. I didn't have any clue what I would be looking at. I didn't have any clue what life would be like on the other side of graduation. All I knew was that I was ready to embrace it. Now, there are some people who aren't. There are some people who sit back and, you know, they're like, I don't know. I kind of like things being the same old. I kind of like the structure. I like homeroom, and I like my classes. It's completely different when you go to that next level. Some, you know, all of a sudden, they're launched from high school into life. Life as you and I know it. And life is cruel. Life is that thing that is going to try to beat you down and hold you there and keep you there. But yet God, in all of his wisdom and all of his infinite mercy, has a plan. Graduation It's a time of celebration, but it's also a time of reflection as well as anticipation for what comes next. And as our graduates take these next steps in their journey, they need to remember that God has a plan for their future. The same way that God has a plan for your future and my future, He has a plan for the future of our graduates. It's so interesting to be on this side of it, and I know many of you sit here and you think about the wonderful things that these two young people, these two young adults are going to do down the road in the future. You think about the potential. You think about the possibilities. I like how potential has been defined before. Somebody said, you got a lot of potential. And I said, well, thank you. And they said, well, potential means you just ain't got there yet. That means you still got a ways to go. So I see that as the same with each and every one of us. And we get to, when we graduate from high school, we get to that point where we're looking for what is next. Now, folks, the thing about it is we can chart a course for our lives, or we can allow God to chart that course for our lives. He's already got it charted. We just have to find what it is. You know, I've repeated this and probably will as long as I have the opportunity to preach what Pastor David said at one point when he said there are two kinds of people in the world, those that are in God's will and those that wish they were. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And it was done before time ever existed. That's something I think that's important for us to remember. But I also want us to look today at that very familiar passage that we see out of Jeremiah chapter 29. It's particularly verse 11, and this is what it says. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at that for a moment. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the thoughts that I have towards you. That's what God says about you. That's what God says about each and every one of us, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work in you. As we sit back today and we think about both Kaylee and Jacob, and as they stand here, we look at them and we realize as God's children that God has a plan for their life. And that excites me. Yeah, and the thing about it is God didn't just decide to come up with it because they got to this point in their life. Since before they were knit together in the womb, God had a plan for each of these folks. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. So our job is to find what God's plan for our life is. That goes back to that statement before. There are two kinds of people in life, those that are in God's will and those that wish they were. I can remember times when God said, I have a plan for your life. And God said, this is what it is. And I said, I don't want that. You ever been that way before? I'm like, well, Lord, I don't think I want that. But see, I was suave. I said, God, you know what? That's cool. I like that. I'll do that. But in my mind, I thought God was going to need my help. You ever thought that? God needs your help. Well, God don't need your help. And the thing about it is, I kept remembering, Lord, I'll go into ministry, but, you know, them poor preachers, they don't make no money, so I'm going to have to do something else to support myself. So I tried to do something else to support myself. I said, Lord, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to be a computer science graduate. That's what I'm going to do. I've shared with this congregation and the world before that in my first year of college, I said I had two computer science classes, and those are the only two classes I ever failed in my whole academic career, computer science classes. I still remember my dad saying, well, son, maybe you went into computer science and God didn't. And I'm like, well, you know, Dad, you're absolutely right. And God was sitting there going, see, I'm going to get you where I want you to be. Now, you can cooperate with the journey, and by the way, it'll be a great journey. It won't be one that you will regret by any stretch of the imagination. You will turn around, and time will have evaporated before you know it. I stand before you today, and I still remember my very first day in ministry. That was 32-plus years ago, and it's just gone like that. And I've enjoyed every moment of serving the Lord. When you find the place where God wants you to be, that's where you will find joy in your work. When you find and you become what God wants you to be, then every day you get up, you're excited to go do what it is that you do. You don't get up cranky and irritable and, oh, I don't want to go do that. Well, you might a few days. There's a couple of days that even when you're doing what God wants you to do, that you're a little cranky and a little bit irritable. But you find some purpose along the way. But I want to give a caution to our graduates, and I want to give a caution to each and every one of us. I have a message here. I don't know if I'll get to it, but here's something that I think is incredibly important. Do not let what you do define who you are. There are too many people today that their identity is wrapped up in the work that they do. There are too many people that live to work rather than work to live. And there are so many people that all of their significance in their life is pointed towards their job or what they do. Let me tell you, that's a bad, bad place to be. You know, you should work your job to be able to support yourself and your family, not to find your identity within it. You see, your identity should be as a child of the King. You see, when your identity is wrapped up in what you do, that changes, doesn't it? That ebbs, that flows. Many in this room probably understand what it's like to have lost a job before for no reason of their own. Company was bought out, something was done, but then you don't know what's going on, but yet the person's significance was wrapped up in what they did rather than who they knew. You guys understanding what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm talking about? I think that's not only critical for Jacob and for Kaylee today, but that's critical for each and every one of us, because we can find ourselves in that same boat, that our significance is wrapped in what, you know, what our job is or what we do rather than who we know. Who we know is the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ. So I want to take a moment just to point out that when we get to this time, as we celebrate, one of the things that we need to remember and think about is the past, because we need to remember that God has been faithful in the past. Take a moment to think about your journey, you know, our graduates, your journey that was leading up to graduation. Think about the challenges that you had to overcome. Think about the successes that you had. And I want you to think about the failures that you had as well. Because you know what? When you fail at something, you don't really fail at it as long as it teaches you something. And there are going to be times in life when you're going to be challenged to do some things. And there are going to be some times when you are going to fail based on what the world has to say. You will find yourself in a situation that the world says that you did not do such a good job on, but the bottom line is, did you really fail? And I'm trying to remember which one it was. I think it was one of the doctors that created an antibiotic. I believe it was penicillin. And they said, well, man, you tried like two or 3,000 times and failed. And he said, no, I didn't fail. He said, I just found 2,000 or 3,000 ways not to make an antibiotic. Is that our attitude? Is that how we can look at those things? Can we evaluate the things that we didn't do well in? Can we look at them and say, you know what, here is something I learned from my journey? You know, people have often said, yeah, and let's talk about this for a moment. Let me give you a classic example. Most of us have read about Noah in the Bible, haven't we? Y'all remember who he was? What was he known for? The ark, the big boat that was built. And that's pretty much what we know him for, but do you realize that he was faithful? Do you realize that Noah also was a preacher? Do you realize that for 125 years, he preached the Lord to those that were around him, to his neighbors and everybody else? You know how many converts he had? Just his family. You see, the earth and the world would today deem him a failure. But let me make you this promise. Noah was not a failure. You know, what made him a success was that he was faithful and obedient to do what God had called him to do. And that is what is most important. You know, we challenge our graduates today. What is God calling you to do? Are you looking for his fingerprints in your life and what he wants you to do? Oftentimes, it's not going to be what you want to do. But along the way in that journey, you will learn many, many things. It is a testing ground. It is a proving ground. I still remembering accidentally getting a job as a police officer. I say accidentally because there are no accidents. But I thought to myself, this is not me. This is not what God called me to do. And I wondered why God opened the doors. I wondered why God actually changed answers on my test, because I can promise you there are tests I took that I did not pass. But for some reason, when the scores came out, I passed. The Lord knows what he's doing. I still remember sitting at my graduation from the police academy, and I saw people celebrating one of the biggest moments of their life. And for me, it was an accomplishment, but yet it was just another day. You know why it was that? Because I know that's not what God called me to do. I knew that there was something greater that lie ahead for me. You know, for me, it was the day I was ordained. Yeah, it was the moment that the church said, you know, we believe in your gifts, we believe in your calling. That was that day for me. But were those wasted days? No, they weren't wasted days, because I will promise you that every day that I worked with the Lynchburg Police Department, every call that I ever went on was designed to mold me into what God wanted me to be standing in this pulpit today. That I know, without any shadow of a doubt. I can remember it like it was yesterday when God said, now it's time. You have learned what you need to learn from the circumstances and situations. It is time to move forward. So we need to think back. We need to reflect on the journey that led up to graduation. And we also need to remember that it was God who saw you through every obstacle that provided opportunities for your growth. Yeah, I've said this, as long as there are tests, there will always be prayer in schools. Amen? Because there have been some times that you weren't quite ready. There have been some times when you did your best and you're like, oh Lord, you're going to have to get me through this one. And he did. There have been some times when you didn't quite make it through there because the Lord put you in the school of, we got to get this down before you go forward. That didn't make you a failure. It made you a candidate to learn what God wanted you to learn in life. I like what Philippians 4:6 reminds us of. Let me just carry you over to that. You don't have to turn to it, but Philippians 1:6, it says this. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are something. You are special. If I could say one thing to our graduates, to the world, to everybody here, God doesn't make junk. You are something special. I see so many people today who are down on themselves because they don't fit what the world says is success. Folks, let me tell you, the way the world defines success and the way God defines success are often two very, very polar opposites of one another. You are special. You are something. You are somebody. And you have been created in God's image. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Set forth with the challenges that God has given you. I look at high school as being simply like the caterpillar that goes through the process of transformation into a butterfly. We too have to go through a transformative journey to reach this graduation milestone. And now it's about time to spread your wings and fly. So that's a look at the past. What about a look at the present? See, when we look at the present, we need to walk in God's purpose. Your graduation is not just a celebration of your achievements, but it's also a recognition of God's purpose in your life. You are not called to chase the world's definition of success, but instead to fulfill God's calling in your life. Let me repeat that one more time. You are not called to chase after the world's definition of success, but instead to fulfill God's calling in your life. That is important. That is critical. Because when you are there, you will find yourself fulfilled. The world may not call you a success, but you know what? You have to ask yourself the question, would I rather be qualified as a success by the world's standards or by the Lord's standards? Let me make you a promise. You're going to be with the Lord a whole lot longer than you're going to be right here. Be faithful, be obedient, just like Noah was. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I kind of liken it to a GPS. I've used a lot of those here lately, but a GPS system can guide us to our desired destination. You can put an address in there, you can put a place in there, and it is going to map a route out for you. But we must be willing to listen and to follow the directions. Where are my people who like to tassel with the GPS? How many of y'all have ever felt like, you know, when the thing says, you know, take exit 53, and you sit back and go, nope, 53 is going to have a lot of traffic. I'm going to go on down to 56. And where are my people that do that? There's my people. Does it ever sound to you like the GPS gets an attitude with you? Recalculating. Continue 2 miles and get off on exit 56. Almost sounds like you're getting an attitude. But folks, here's the thing. God can get us there. He's given us a destination, but we need to follow His destination. See, sometimes when you go up to exit 56, you'll find exit 56 is closed. See, I thought about that when Jimmy and I were going down to Texas. I got a text, and it said, when you get to Shreveport, be sure you take the I-220. Didn't have any other data or details, and I thought, well, we're doing pretty good. The GPS is not telling us that. But then something told me, follow directions. So the GPS said, go straight, and I went I-220. Still didn't know what, but a couple days later, people were saying, well, I went through there in a Dooley pickup truck, and I couldn't have had that much room on either side, and we were in a tractor-trailer truck. And all the signs that were saying no commercial traffic. You see, sometimes God will change the course along the way so that you might avoid some problems, so that you might avoid the issues down the road. We have to be willing to follow Him. God has a specific plan for your life. I love to say that, and I want you guys, particularly you two, to hear me out. God has a specific plan for your life. You know what? It might not be the one we have, but God's got one. So our idea is to find out what God's plan for our life is. And it's not going to be something that you're going to hate. If you're in God's will, you're not going to spend your whole life saying, well, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that. You'd be sitting back going, man, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I was faithful. I was glad I was obedient to what God taught me. I had a guy ask me yesterday, he said, well, do you miss being a police officer? No. Because see, if I was doing that, I wouldn't be here doing what God's called me to do. And I feel like I would have been a very miserable person. I don't have any regrets whatsoever following God's will for my life. So we look at the present. We need to remember, you guys are embarking on a journey now. I've always said I believe this is one of the toughest times in life for somebody, because now all of a sudden everybody expects you to go from a child to an adult in one ceremony called graduation. You're supposed to know exactly what you're going to do. You had counselors that are saying, well, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And if you were like I was, you were like, I mean, I knew what God wanted me to do, but still I was like, I don't know. What difference does that make? That's why I said I appreciate what Kaylee's doing. She's getting general study courses that are going to go for whatever the Lord shows her along the way that her future is. You know, then you get to that point where you have to make that decision, and then you're not sure whether you made the right decision. You know, did I do the right thing? Did going to school for this? Have I made the right choice? And then what happens is often people will find maybe you didn't make the right choice in college, but God still got you where He needed for you to be. That's just the way God is. Listen to what He has to say in the present so that you can find where God wants you to be in the future. And finally, we want to mention the future. And what do we have to do for the future? We need to trust in God's sovereignty. As you look ahead, you may feel uncertain. You may feel afraid of what that future holds. But remember, it is God who is in control of His plans for your life, and His plans are good. He is going to make sure that you see it. If you're like I am, there are times that you have prayed a prayer and you've said, Lord, I know I'm a little dense. You need to show me some handwriting on the wall. Yeah, I don't want to miss. I want to do what you want me to do, but you got to show it to me. And every time, God's gotten it across to even somebody that is a simple country boy like myself. When you see God's plan, what a great, great thing that really is. And in seeing his plan, we need to trust in his sovereignty, because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows every day of our life. He knows when it was going to begin. Before it ever began, he knows when it will end. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And you need to make sure you take him wherever you go. I want to chart some new waters off course. And I want you guys to know how critical that it is that we as a church be praying for our graduates. Because if you've looked at the indoctrination that is taking place in colleges and universities today, it is not a good thing. We need to pray that they are strong in their faith. We need to pray that God will uphold them through the trials and the tribulations that they will come in contact with, not just in school, but in life. There are going to be challenges to what you believe. And folks, let me tell you something. I tell both of our graduates, I'll tell all of us the same thing. If we are not doing and acting and functioning in what we believe, then you are on a very shaky foundation. Why is it that often young people go away to colleges and universities and come back changed? Because their foundation wasn't solid enough for them to say, I believe in what this is, and I'm going to stand on it. Yes, you'll have to stand alone in a lot of cases. But thanks be to God, we've also seen success stories where people go and they come back and they're unchanged by the world that's trying to creep into their life. Folks, we as a church need to pray not only for our graduates, we need to pray for those that are in school. We need to pray for those that are in life, because life is vicious, and you know it, and you know that. Just as a ship relies on its anchor to keep it steady in the midst of a storm, we can trust that God is our anchor in the unknown future. You have to be anchored in the Father. Please hear me today. Without Jesus, it is not going to happen. Without Jesus, I'll promise you, you're going to fail. Without Jesus, I promise you, marriages fail. Careers fail. Without Jesus, I'm telling you that they'll fail. Why? Because God's got a plan for your life. He wants you to trust him. See, graduation, folks, is not an end, but it's a beginning. It's a beginning of a new chapter in God's great plan for your life. I grin like a mule eating briars, man, because I just think about what you guys, can be as you go forward. I've had the opportunity to basically know these two since they were born. I think about those that we still pray for here. I think about the twins who are charting their way in life in military service, and God's plan is unfurling for them. And I just sit back and smile when I see God do incredible things. This is not the end, but rather the beginning. Remember to reflect on God's faithfulness in the past. We need to walk in his purpose in the present, and we need to trust in his sovereignty in the future. So as you two embark on a new journey, we're all going to pray for God's guidance and God's blessing upon your life. And I challenge you not to underestimate your abilities. God has equipped you with everything that you need to fulfill your purpose. Life will try to tell you otherwise, but I want you to know this. Do not underestimate your abilities. Everybody else may underestimate your abilities. Don't you underestimate your abilities. Shoot big. Shoot big. Shoot for the stars, as they say. And you know what? Maybe you don't reach it, but you've learned something. And you reach for the stars again and again and again. See, your attitude is not that I have failed, but I've learned new things along the way. Do not underestimate your ability, because God has given you what you need to make happen what he wants to happen in and through your life. Parents, I'm challenging you today. Parents and loved ones, continue to support and encourage these graduates as they pursue God's plan for their lives. It's still a little shaky. You know, it was shaky for me. I'm like, this God's plan for my life? How come it's not solid? Well, it's because there were things I needed to learn along the way to shore up that foundation. And for all of us, we need to remember that we have a unique purpose in God's kingdom. And we need to strive to fulfill that purpose with passion and with determination. Are we compassionate? Do we have that passion? Do we have the determination? I call it bulldog tenacity. You know, bulldog grab a hold of you by the seat of your britches. He ain't going to let go until something makes him let go, like his own mind. Do we have that tenacity to chase after what it is that God has called us to chase after, even when it seems impossible? I love a quote by Albert Schweitzer who said this. It says, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. That's his quote. And there's so much truth in that. As we celebrate our graduates today, let us remember to give thanks for their past accomplishments and encourage them as they embrace the future and challenge them to use their talents and use their abilities for God's purpose, because we are so proud of all that they are. Listen, what has God given you as a talent and abilities? What has he provided you with? Are you using them for his kingdom? I promise you, that's what they were created for. And you will never fail when you use them for his honor and for his glory. We are proud of all that they have achieved. And we're excited to see what the future holds for both Jacob and Kaylee. And finally, to our graduates, congratulations on this very, very special day in your life. As you move forward in life, always remember to give thanks to God, to trust in his plan, and to use your talents for his glory. May you continue to grow in your faith and make a positive difference in the world. Congratulations once again, and may God bless you abundantly. As we think about our graduates, as we think about all that God has called them to do, it reminds us of what God has called us to do. It should remind us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. One of the biggest tragedies I've ever heard in church is when somebody says, I've lived my whole life and I never knew what God's purpose for my life was. God has a purpose for your life. And let me promise you this, it is that he might get honor and glory, not you. It is you using gifts, talents, and abilities that he has given you for his honor and for his glory. And sometimes we're selfish and we say, well, you know, I don't know if I like that or not. Are you using your gifts, talents, and abilities for yourself, or are you using them for the glory of God? That's what he wants. But first of all, you have to know him. I am amazed that daily, as we have the opportunity to go out, and when I was in Texas knocking on doors, I just simply asked, I said, you know, I don't know any other way to ask you this than whether or not you're a born-again believer. You know, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? And you know what? People would tell me, they'd say yes. And I'd say, well, tell me about that. Tell me how you got there. You see, because so many people don't get there the right way. They think, well, I had an emotional experience. I had this, I had that, or whatever. That isn't salvation. Salvation doesn't have anything to do with that. Salvation has to do with who you know. So the bottom line is this, and I pose this question and this challenge for everybody in this room today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? Are you saved? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, Lord, I am a sinner, and because of my sin, I know that my eternal destination is hell, but thanks be to you, God, that through Jesus Christ, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, I don't have to suffer an eternity in hell. Lord, forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Have you ever cried out to the Father in that manner? Now, that's not a magic bullet. I mean, do you believe in him? Do you believe truly that he can save you? Are you going to trust him with every piece of your life? It doesn't make it easy. I want you to know that. You know, there are times when we sorrow over the loss of loved ones. I was sharing with my college roommate whose wife just passed away in her late 50s, three children, last daughter, preparing to get married. And he said, you know, he said, I don't understand. He said, I don't understand why God did what he did. But I know it was all part of his plan. Whew. That's hard. That's hard. You know, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to get mad at God or you're going to trust his purpose. And there are going to be times you're going to be shaky on that. Any of you that have walked with the Lord for any amount of time understand that. You're like, I don't understand why God's doing what he's doing. But fate and circumstance don't hold true to the Savior. When God calls one of his children home, it was already on the calendar. When God chooses to bless, it was already on his calendar. When you don't understand what's going on, God has a plan and it's already on his calendar. You just got to trust him. You're going to say, Lord, that ain't my problem, that's yours. And do the best you can to be faithful and obedient. Have you trusted Jesus? That is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Are you truly born again? Listen, it's not up to me to convict. The Holy Spirit is what convicts your heart. And if you're not, I promise he's convicting your heart right now. Maybe the rest of us today, we have gotten comfortable. We felt like we have come to the end of the journey. And I want to make you a promise that when it comes to God's will, as long as there's life and breath in your bones, you are not done with what God's got you doing. Keep on keeping on until you see the kingdom. We need to pray for our young people like never before. They need to know they can count on us when life gets messy. They need to know that not only when life gets messy will we be here for them, but that we will be there for them. They need to know that when they need somebody out in front of them, we'll be there. To say, hey, look, if you're going to get to these, you got to get through us. And I'm old and I fight dirty. You know why? Because so does Satan. There ain't no such thing as a fair fight, particularly in spiritual warfare. I'll gouge your eyes out in a heartbeat in spiritual warfare. I'll trip you. I'll hide behind a bush. I'll sneak up behind you. They're worth it. They're worth it. Let's honor them. Let's pray for them. And let's anticipate what God has in store for their lives. That as we set back, we'll go, that's my girl. That's my guy. Someday on TV, I'll be going, see that coach right there? He used to go to my church. Now he's on the West Coast or something. But you better still take my telephone call. Kaylee, who knows? But boy, I tell you, I light up when I think about what God can do with you. You are precious. You change people just by seeing them. I know it's that way with me. I could be having a horrible day. She could walk into a room and it's Kaylee, smiling and enjoying every ounce of life. Let's love them. Let's be there for them. What has God put on your heart? Brad, I'm going to get you guys to take your place for our invitation to him. What has the Spirit put on your heart about what you have heard through his word today? Maybe you've been out there beating on stuff all by yourself. And maybe the biggest problem is you're trying to do it your way, and God is saying you need to do it my way because I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Maybe you're ready to quit, or maybe you have quit, and the Lord says, I am faithful to complete in you the work that I've begun in you. Maybe you're just tired. Listen, it's all right to rest, but you got to get back with what it is that God has you doing. Maybe that's what the conviction of your heart is today. Whatever it is, I'm asking you to acknowledge that you have heard the Holy Spirit's movement in your life. I'm asking that you say, Lord, okay, look, I know I need to get busy. Here we go. Lord, I need to get busy with my life. I want it to have purpose for you. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Whatever it is, I'm asking that you do that. I'm asking that if you trusted Jesus, please let us know today so we can celebrate with you. We love to celebrate. That's what it's all about. Yeah, we'll help get you on a path of discipleship. Don't let that word scare you. Discipleship's really fun if you do it right. And we do it right around here. I promise you that. We want to see you succeed just like our graduates. We're going to be there for them. Listen, it's going to be a tough road. There are going to be some hard times. But we got you. We got you back. We got you six. This is your family. Don might even show up and scare them to death, you know. He'll scare the evil right off of you right there because he's family. Mark Boone's agreeing because Mark will be right there with him. Guys, we love you. We're praying the very best for you. What is it God's put on your life? Listen, as always, this old altar is here. If you need me, I am here. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn, number 285, Where He Leads Me. You do business with the Father. Can you truly say that from the bottom of your heart, that wherever He leads, you'll go? Have you surrendered to Him in that regard? Listen, don't let this moment of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart get away from you. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's placed in your life, you deal with it right now, that you walk out of here free and having peace in your heart and life. God will bless you in an incredible way for it. As you continue to do business with the Lord, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to you now, again, we thank you for the provision that you have given each and every one of us. Lord, the food on the table, the shoes on our feet, the roof over our head. You have blessed us in abundance in so many ways. So, Lord, right now, I pray that we will truly be found faithful as we come to the time that we continue our worship by giving back to you that small portion that you have so richly blessed us with and that you asked us to return to you. May we truly be found to be good stewards of what you have allowed us, Lord, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. How many of y'all knew what she just played? Turn your eyes upon you. Love that, Vicki. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Just let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays we have this coming week. Thursday, our own Shirley. There she is back here, Shirley Chavis. She'll have a birthday Thursday, and our very own Valerie Giles will be having a birthday this coming Thursday as well. And then as far as anniversaries, Jeff is lucky. Jennifer has put up with him for another year of marriage. Jeff and Jennifer on Friday will be celebrating. Can I ask which one? 38. 38 years. Wow. You must have been a baby when you married her, Jeff. When you get a chance, be sure to let those folks know that you wish them a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. Just a couple things that we have going essentially for the day. My D group is not going to be meeting today. Bible study, David, are you having that tonight? Yes, Bible study tonight, and is that going to be in the new location? All right, the adult Bible study that's meeting that used to meet in the sanctuary is going to meet down that hall all the way down to the left. So that's where it'll be. So if you come in and there's nobody here, don't leave. They're down that way. So just meet down that way. 6 o'clock this evening. There will not be choir practice this evening. And then band practice. Are you on for band practice? Okay. In the gym at what time? 7 o'clock. So stay at the same time. So the band is going to be practicing for the 4th of July in the gym after Bible study, which will be roughly 7 o'clock-ish. So if you have any questions, talk to Jim about that. He can get you hooked up. Steve Kelly's D group that meets on Monday will not be meeting this week. And then Wednesday, they have the men's breakfast, 10 a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax. Again, that's just a time to build relationships and have a good old time and eat some good old food. So every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic restaurant in Colfax. Women's Connection Ministry has moved from June the 6th to June the 13th in Family Life Center 116 at 6 o'clock p.m. So if you're part of that, be sure to make a note of that. Camp Carefree Week will be June the 30th through July the 5th. Are you going to mention that in just a minute, David? Okay, I'll let David tell you a little bit more about Carefree that's going to be coming up. And again, like I say, just Sunday night Bible study is going to meet in Sanctuary Building Classroom 1, which is all the way down that way on the left. Have y'all started back up at Rogers yet? Or yes. So is it this coming week? This coming Tuesday, if you want to have an opportunity to be at Bible study over at Roger and Don Rees, it'll be from 12 to 1, and they're currently in the book of Daniel is what they're teaching in. So that is this coming Tuesday, right? Tuesday. That's ATF. Make sure it's not Thursday, it's Tuesday, right? Tuesday. Just seeing if y'all are on your toes, but be sure to let them know. Like I said, make sure if you want to go, be sure to talk to Paul or David, because Roger and Don Ree may not have 200 chairs for you to come sit in. So, just be sure to chat with them. I'm sure they'd love to have you. But at any rate, just remember once again the baby bottle campaign. We're essentially taking them up now. The campaign lasts through Father's Day. We take it between Mother's Day and Father's Day. As you see these down here, we will collect those, put them with the others. So if you wanted to bring them next week or what have you, just bring them in. You can put them there and we'll make sure they get in the office, or you can drop them by the office, either one. Again, a lot of things that are going on around the church. If you need a room for meetings, rehearsals, whatever, please contact the church office so we can make sure that that's not being crossed up with or over anything. And we'll get you squared away on that. Please keep Jimmy and I in your prayers. You know, as you've noticed, there's been a lot of things. We took equipment down to Texas a couple weeks ago. Well, things haven't gotten any better. In fact, they've actually gotten worse. Water has still not receded, and it has been over a month. Our group is actually shutting down the Disaster Recovery Operations Center this coming Thursday because water still has not recessed. It keeps coming back with the storms and everything else. So sometime this week, Jimmy and I will need to go back to Trinity, Texas, bring equipment back home. So we're going to have to drive down and drive back. That's 1,150 miles each direction. And we got a lot of things that are going on. I got to be at a graduation on Friday, and I leave for the Southern Baptist Convention on Saturday. So pray for our safety, and I was going to say speed, but I don't want to say that. That leaves a public record of me saying something I shouldn't say from a pulpit. But at any rate, pray for us as we go. That's a long way. I feel like Smokey and the Bandit. We said we'll get Fred and his Mustang to run blocker for us, so we'll make it. Matter of fact, we went through, I think, around Texarkana going in there. But at any rate, Pastor David's going to come up. He's going to share a little bit about Camp Caraway with you. Then we'll get you on out of here even a few minutes early, because David's not a long-winded as I am. Guys, I love you. Appreciate it.
One word about rehearsal tonight for the band. If you would like to play with the band for the Patriotic Concert, that's on July the 6th, Saturday, not the 4th. A lot of us will be at Camp Carefree on the 4th, cooking meals, doing a cookout. So if you'd like to play, all you got to do is just show up tonight. We'll find you some music. But it's because of the length of the service and the different songs we have, you need to come to rehearsal if you're going to play. Okay? So if you know somebody in your family who would like to play, tell them about it. Have them come look at the music tonight. 7 o'clock over in the multipurpose building. And Camp Carefree, June is the month that we promote Camp Carefree. We collect money for that ministry. We don't just cook the meals, we buy the food, okay? So we need some help from you to help us pay for the food. We bought over $1,000 worth of food last year to feed the camp. Annette tells me she doesn't know exactly what the enrollment is this year, but she says it's supposed to be more than it was last year. So we cook 3 meals a day from Sunday evening through Friday. So we already have people lined up to go do that. Well, I'm not asking you to sign up to go do that, but however, next week, we will have the schedule out for those who have signed up to be able to pick up your schedule and look at who's going to be serving with you during those meals. Different people are serving at different times. It's not too late if you want to come and help. I'm sure we can find a place for you and something for you to do. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house and worshiping you with the family of God. Lord, we pray for those who are graduating, not just for the two that are here, but for those who are in Awakened Church and those who are in church everywhere around this area, Lord, celebrating graduation. Lord, we pray that you would minister to their needs, bless their families as they go through this transition into the next phase of their life. Watch over them, protect them, give them the wisdom to know how to look for your will in their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.